everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth and one is a lie. And then we try to figure out which one of your stories is a lie. And we do it along the side of our many listeners on YouTube who actually like playing along. By the way, if you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, know that we do go live on the Comedy Store's YouTube page on Mondays at 4:30 and most Fridays at 8:30, like tonight. And you can catch us live. It's been a lot of fun to meet people online. People have come to our gigs. It's been kind of cool, right?
It's really cool. Ken's coming to Portland to see us, too.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. With us today, we have Austin Walker, our on-air producer. Austin, would you mind shouting out where people could leave reviews after they watch the show and all that?
Anywhere you stream podcasts, you can leave reviews. But please subscribe to our YouTube. That's the most important thing. Got to get them numbers up. And our Instagram, of course, which is the Liars Club 1, and our Twitter, Liars_Club. Please follow us there and come see us in the Belly Room September 25th.
Yes, please do that. And I'd like to give a shout out to our biggest fan. Is it Norway or Sweden?
Oh, in Sweden.
In Sweden.
Oh,
yes.
Shit, Cal.
Yes.
Cal's our boy.
Yes.
We just
yes.
found out that we are very popular in Sweden. So yes. if anybody wants to go there, we're probably on the tourism board now and stuff.
Something's going down for us.
I think they made Felicia the queen. It's really big in Sweden.
So anyway, will you introduce our guest, Jessica?
I would love to. This lovely lady to my left is a paid regular here at the Comedy Store. Just happened not long ago. And she made her late night debut on Comedy Central.
How about that?
Hilarious.
Within a couple of months, two things like that happening is pretty amazing.
Yes, and this is Laura Bites.
Welcome to the show, Laura.
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 Laura. Laura.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. You just have to say it right.
Oh, God, I love you already. Get on her.
And over here, across from us, I didn't know she was in Spider-Man. That's pretty fucking cool. And she's been on all over the TV, The Parkers, Raising Hope, and Last Comic Standing. Pretty much any stand-up show that's been on TV, this woman's been on it. And she's all over the Sirius Radio. I hear her all the time. This is Alicia Cooper.
Thank you.
This is
wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Wow, two of you guys, two killers on the show tonight. I love it. I love it. So just so you know, we will be asking questions. Don't get terrified. If you feel like you're giving it up, don't give it up. Like, if you feel like we're on you and you're like, no, I confess, don't do that. You
I'm
know?
Gonna give it up.
Okay.
I'm the worst liar ever.
Do not confess until the end. So just even if you get mixed up with your lies or whatever, you know, just own it until the end. Because if you don't, then it's not fun.
Yeah, because Jessica becomes the biggest bitch ever.
Okay.
So why don't we go ahead and start? And by the way, I would love to give a shout out to our other on-air producer, Mr. Michael Evans in the booth. Say hi to the people, Michael.
Hi, people.
There you go.
See, he has a camera. It flips to him.
Yeah, there you go.
That's me. That's me on the camera right now.
Technology is awesome.
Then we just all awkwardly stare at the camera and hear it.
Yes. All right, so let's kick it off. And Laura, why don't you start?
Okay.
I said it right?
I have a step. My first stepmom was named Laurie.
My stepmom, ex-stepmom now.
Did I give you a post-traumatic little thing
there?
Well,
she did adopt me and then leave.
Oh, fuck. This isn't about you. I said she's going to start her story. Move on, Jessica.
Did she leave you because you said her name wrong?
Because that's fair.
Did you call her Laurie? Because then I could see.
I mean, I really don't know if she likes it Laurie or Lori.
You don't know?
Well, yeah. It's spelled L-A, so I think it's Laurie.
Maybe, yeah, is it Larry? Is
Laurie
Sounds like seasoning salt. Laurie seasoning salt.
L-A-U-R-I-E?
Oh, that's Laurie.
Laurie,
well, wouldn't Laurie be L-O-R-I?
No, yeah, Lord. If you're in England and you want to get a cab, yeah, or whatever.
A box truck.
So my name is L-A-R-A. It's not L-A-U-R-A.
That's Lara.
Yeah, my stepmom, L-A-U-R-A, that's Lara.
Yeah. Were they misspelling it on the lineups for a bit?
I mean, sometimes they do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay, so it's not Jessica's fault. It's not Jessica's fault.
Here, I don't think they have ever typed it out wrong.
Okay, it's Jessica's fault.
I mean, it's an unusual name, you know.
Yeah. And
I
Laura. Have
my first story I'm going to tell you sucks to tell. I'm going to get it out of the way. Okay, So I was...
oh, fuck. She's good at this game. Oh, shit.
I was engaged. I was with someone for like 4 years when I lived in... Fix it. Fix it, mommy. When I lived in Wisconsin. And we moved to Philadelphia together. We moved back to Wisconsin together. We were together for a long time. It was my longest relationship. And he proposed to me. And I said yes. And we were engaged for a few months.
Where did he propose?
He proposed in our apartment.
Oh, fancy.
What state?
He didn't have a ring either.
Nothing?
Nothing.
So what, were you just like that's watching The Bachelor and then he was like, this is the time?
No, actually we broke up, and while we were broken up, he came back to our shared apartment and proposed to me. And I said yes, because I was young and a moron and had no sense of self-worth. And we were engaged for a few months, and then I found out that he had been sleeping with someone else like the whole time. And for like a lot of our relationship too. And it was someone who was in... like our circle of friends, to where it's insane that I didn't know.
Was it your best friend?
It wasn't my best friend. It was the friend of someone who was a good friend of mine. Yeah. But it was like someone I saw around. It was someone who would like talk to me and was always really nice to me. And I still like don't know where she got the audacity to like be as friendly to me as she was. But he never admitted it. And I found out from a friend who found out from her. But the stuff that, like, they knew was stuff that, like, she couldn't have known. I mean, it just became very clear that it was true. And so I ended that relationship. And
how long were you engaged for?
A few months.
Yeah.
And he got married to someone else and is married now. And, I mean, I haven't blocked on everything now. But last I saw, he was, like... happily married, still living in Milwaukee.
With a totally different woman.
Totally different person.
How long ago was this?
This was in like, from the time I was like 22 to like 25 or 26. So this was maybe in 2009, I would say. 2008, 2009.
You know, it's so interesting because I have teenage boys and I have a 20-year-old now, and I think about all the shit I did when I was 20. You know what I mean? And do you now look back on that like still with a lot of pain, or are you that's just a rite of passage? Everyone kind of goes through that.
I really don't. I look back on it with like a lot of gratitude. Actually, like fucking thank God I found out before I like married this guy
and had six kids
and have six kids and live in Milwaukee, and he works at a souvenir factory, and I'm making spaghetti for
a
like
souvenir factory.
Yeah,
it's her fucking nightmare, dude. She's like, she can't work at any fucking factory she wants, Jessica. Yeah.
No, I like that. I'm just imagining little tchotchkes going across the belt.
He works at the souvenir.
Oh, he did work at the souvenir.
Yeah,
factory?
I tried working at the souvenir factory, and those ladies didn't like me, so they fired me after like my first week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you doing that was so bad at the souvenir factory?
I worked too fast, and they felt like their hours were threatened.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Because I was, like, finishing all the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was this souvenir factory making that week that you were working there?
Just, like, so there's stuff that you see when you're on vacation, like the little magnets that have, like, the shells on them and stuff.
Uh-huh.
We made those. We just glued shells to, like, shit that was made
in Wisconsin?
China. Yeah, in Wisconsin.
Glued shells in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then sent them off to, like, Myrtle Beach or wherever. Yeah, bought, like, bags of shells from China. Like, huge bags.
So you could start your own shop.
Yeah, that's what this person did. He was a total moron and completely inept, and he ran a souvenir factory. This is not the person I dated. The person I dated worked for the guy who ran the souvenir factory.
Oh, it gets worse.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. That's a simple, straightforward story. I almost thought, well, is there more to the story?
Just that I've never loved again, but no.
No.
I mean, I've loved it. I don't know. I've never been in like a
go, Alicia, go.
So I keep holding on. I know you turn that song off every time it comes on the radio.
Never heard it before.
You haven't?
Couldn't turn it off if I wanted.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to text it to you.
Okay.
It's a beautiful song.
Oh, I love it.
It's a beautiful song. Isn't that Dionne Warwick?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Do you have any questions, Jessica?
Laura, how long have you been doing stand-up?
9 years.
And you were doing stand-up when you were with this guy?
I started stand-up when I broke up with this guy, and then we got back together, and I was still doing it, and he did not like that. He really didn't want me to
How
do stand-up.
How old are you now?
34.
Were you talking about him in your act?
So I mean, I'm sure I was. I think I had, like, a joke or two about him. I think I wrote a joke when we broke up, but then we got back together. I mean, the joke didn't hit. So not really.
So you guys were together from 22 to 26.
Yes. I was 22 to 26. Yeah.
And that was. And you.
And I started stand up when I was 26.
So 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was older than you?
Yes. Sorry. I'm like 9 years ago. I wasn't 26. 10 years ago. That fucked me up.
Trust me. We've been doing the math.
So I don't. 25 or 26. I don't know. It's hard. And what was your question? What did you ask me?
How old? Like, I want to know how old.
Yeah, was he older than you?
Yeah, like, how much older was he?
But I guess that makes sense because we didn't. He was 3 years older. He was 25 when we started dating.
I have a question about the factory. So when you made the souvenirs, was it every day was a new souvenir that you made, or you guys just worked all week to do just a shitload of certain souvenirs?
Worked all week to do just a shitload of certain souvenirs. So we would have, like, orders. Like Myrtle Beach wants 32 of the mermaid magnet.
Uh-huh.
And so you'd have to make the mermaid magnet and fill that order and then put it to the side. And then you'd start the next order.
Uh-huh. And what exactly was your job?
I like put the shit on the shit. I like glued the shit to the shit. So I'd like glue like...
What kind of shit?
So you're making a magnet, right? And you got yourself a base? You got yourself a base, you got a hot glue gun, and you got your shit that you got to glue on it. So it'll say, they would explain to me, like, all right, so this gets, like, two shells right there, and then, like, a little, like, a mermaid or whatever right there.
Uh-huh. So they had, like, little baby mermaids.
And they would have a sample, and I would just imitate it. So some of the shells could be, like, different colors, you know, if you're working with a bag of multicolored shells. You'd make, I mean, yeah.
You should have told your last second, man.
Why, you think this is a lie?
Oh, yeah.
You think this is a lie?
Yeah, I think the factory worker thing.
I don't know. She kind of, I thought, kind of teared up a little bit when she's talking about the guy, though.
That might
the
all have
some
truth
is,
to
is
it.
The only thing is, this doesn't sound like it would be a factory. It's more of like, come over.
A hobby shop.
You were approximately, you were something like 75 seconds into your story when Lindsay Worth said, lying.
Oh, really? Why, though? Why? What gave it away for Lindsay?
You know what I said? I didn't ask, but I just responded and said I had the same inclination right away. So
right.
Alicia, you know, just to let you know, you're allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, you're allowed to ask questions. Please do.
Yeah,
please do.
I threw a few things in.
Yeah.
You threw a few things in?
Yeah.
What do you
like
mean?
Like that song.
Okay.
Song.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've been getting in
there. I participate.
Okay, cool.
I get in.
Yeah, you've been getting in there.
All right, Michael Evans, what are your thoughts? Michael's like, what?
Alicia's saying she's been getting in there. So funny. No, I did. I totally did. Did you make little license plates at
no.
the not the the little names on the license
plates?
No, I
plates? Wasn't in prison.
No, they have souvenirs like that.
I'm like, did I make license plates?
No. Okay.
Nobody's in the souvenir game.
I mean, it was a prison
of
sorts.
How about this? What else did you make there at the factory? What other? Give me some other souvenir
games. Well, she was only there a week.
Christ, I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah, but if he worked at the souvenir factory, he would probably come home like, oh, fuck, I had to make 30, 100.
I'm so pissed too because this wasn't even supposed to be part of my fucking story.
No, all but right. it counts.
You guys are like, what, well, tell me more about the souvenir factory.
What was the? I don't know. I just want to know what the pay shit. Was. What was the pay?
God, I do you know, not
did you,
remember.
Did you guys ever have sex at the souvenir factory?
On a souvenir?
Fuck no. Oh, you never want to have sex at the souvenir factory. It's about the saddest place I ever been in my whole life.
I bet you never thought you'd say that sentence ever.
Never wanted to. Don't want to be saying it now.
Okay.
All right. In short.
Okay.
In short, I think the story's true.
Really?
It feels legit to me. She seems pretty
Mike
emotionally
believes
invested.
In love.
Leah, I believe in love.
Leah said online,
that's
sounds like a man.
That I can't think of the other shit we made. We made
love.
Paperweights.
You made paperweights?
We made paperweights. Could it all have been magnets and paperweights?
Mm. Could wow. it?
That's what the name oh, of your special, magnets and yeah. paperweights.
What the fuck else did we make?
Yeah, but now the problem I have.
I love the outrage with the change of story.
The problem I have is that he worked there. So he continued to work there. So you should know more about what the factory made. I mean, if you knew anything
yeah, I
about
agree
your fiance.
With you.
We did had you guys meet at the souvenir? You met at the souvenir factory?
No, we didn't. We met through my friend Rebecca.
Okay.
And you both just happened to work at the same souvenir factory?
No, he got me the job, asshole.
All right. I'm a Christian. Take it.
Sorry.
Leah said, sounds
sorry,
like a
I
man.
I had a lot of
so
emotions coming out.
Leah thought that story was very indicative of what a man would do, so she thinks it's true.
Yeah, it might be. She's getting all. We'll have to see how you tell your second story to judge how hopped up you get on the second story. All right, it's
I don't
our
even
turn.
Want to tell my fucking second story.
No, we want you to because it's going to be awesome. So, Alicia, it's your turn. Don't get nervous.
Good luck, Alicia. Fucking bullshit. Hate to. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I'm going now?
Okay.
Okay, so this is what happened. First of all, I do not like flying. I thought I was going to like it when I quit my full-time job and started touring. I was like, this is going to be fun, but you quickly realize this is some shit here. You know, especially like when you have early flights and stuff. So, you know, what I would do is because I didn't like to stay up on the plane, I would not go to sleep if I had an early flight. So what I do is I start washing clothes at like 2 a.m., packing at like 3 a.m., and then I get in the car at 4 a.m. to head to the airport for the 6 a.m. flight. So I did that so that I could sleep on the plane undisturbed. You know, I was like, fuck the peanuts. I don't want anything. I just want to sleep. I just don't like this. I don't like the, you know, I just don't like the compressed air. I just don't like anything about it. So the last time that I did that, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to just sleep when I get on the plane. I complained about something. I got bumped up to first class.
Ooh.
And that's a whole
fuck
new
yeah, dude.
World.
I'm bitching forever.
Same place.
Yeah, I was looking
knew.
Back at the commoners like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I want your common stench on my shoulder. Can you close the curtain? Close the curtain on those people. So I get to my seat. You know, it's like row two or something. That's just the beauty of first class. It's like single digits. And I'm in like row two. And I'm like, I don't care what else happens. I'm going to get to my cushiony good seat. And I'm going to sleep. So I put my little stuff in the overhead bin. I get to my seat. Like, people are still getting on. And I'm already gone. Like, I'm just that exhausted.
And they got so nice room. They got leg room, and you can lean back.
Blanket,
more.
Pillow, you know, everything you need.
I
is
got
there.
Bumped up one time, and I'll never forget it.
Oh man, you really look at your life after you've been bumped up. It's the worst thing that could actually happen to you because then you know just
you really
how the other half lives. And so now I'm finally getting some sleep, and then we get to the right altitude, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. Tap tap tap, tap tap tap. So first I think I'm dreaming. Tap, tap, tap. I look to the right, and it's Dr. Maya Angelou. So I'm a big fan. I'm like, oh, my goodness, Dr. Maya Angelou. Oh, I have all your books. This is amazing. Sitting in first class with you.
Now, I've always said Dr. Maya Angelou.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what we say in the South.
Yeah.
I thought it was Angelou, too, actually.
Yeah. We say Angelou. Mm. You know, the L-O-U, like Lou
Grant. I guess it is, yeah.
You know.
It's a lot.
So...
All right.
So I go to get back on my pillow. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. I'm like, yes, ma'am. She said, are you really going to go to sleep and miss your blessing?
Whoa.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh.
You're telling me she was conceited like that?
I was like, blessing. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a financial blessing. I didn't know, you know, what kind. Then I realized, oh, she's the blessing. So I sit up and I let her talk, you know, because she's, you know, she's royalty. I'm like, I had all her books. I was like, I'm going to let her talk. And she talked for 5 hours, you know. So the whole time my head is snapping back like bop, bop. You know, this wasn't a Clockwork Orange. This was a Clockwork Angela. You know, my eyes were just boiling out of my head. So by the time she finished talking, I knew why the cage bird sang. So I got up and I went over to...
I rise.
I rose and I got up and I went to the flight attendant begging. And I was like, please, ma'am, give me something back. They give me some coffee, some no-dose, some cocaine, whatever you may have in the back. So she gives me some coffee. I sit down. Now I'm up. You know, fuck it, I'm up. You know, so then I tell her, I said, yes, I just want you to know that I too am a blessing. You know, I used to work and talk.
Check out this dick joke.
And I was a talk show producer, reality show producer. I quit all of that to become a stand-up comic, and I'm just going on about myself because it's my turn now. I look to the right, and she is asleep.
Oh, bitch.
So that's when I go tap, tap, tap. Are you? Tap, tap, tap. I too am a blessing. She does not wake up. So I look down at her purse and I got her cell phone out and I got Oprah's number and that was the blessing. I have a meeting with the OWN network because of that.
When was this?
This was 8 years ago.
You stole Oprah's phone number?
Out of her purse.
Let's call her.
You're telling me this Maya Angelou story, and the only thing I can think to ask is, tell me a little more about that souvenir factory.
God, what the fuck else did we make? It's killing me. It's called Visionary Products. You can look it up right now.
We're not allowed to look up.
No Googling.
But did you make any Maya Angelou souvenirs? Can we cross these stories
anything,
over?
Any Maya keychains? Wow.
It couldn't have all been magnets and paperweights.
It couldn't have been.
I know we didn't make menorahs. I can picture like a bowl. I don't know what we fucking made.
Oh.
I love this podcast for the fact that the stories are so varied, you know, and
we made floating candles. We made a glass and had a floating candle. Candle holders.
Okay.
That's what they're called.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, all good. All good.
Yes. The story is that when you have a melanated guest, you're going to have melanated stories.
But it's just, that fucking story came full circle. Like, I can't believe that at the end that you said, I'm the blessing to Maya Angelou. And I can't believe you would throw Maya Angelou under the bus saying she was a Chatty Cathy. I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
Now, Alicia, can I tell you, when I first got here, I was doing audience work, you know, to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I did audience work for Queen Latifah, which got her show going.
Oh,
and
you did?
Yeah, I did. It was one of the last ones. Yeah. And it was only like a little bit of us up top. And the rest were real, real people, you know, on vacation and stuff, watching. Mm-hmm. So we got all these bags and free stuff. It was amazing. Plus, we got paid. And Queen Latifah came up the audience, like, ramp or whatever. And she came right to me, and she was like, I love your hair. I was like, and that was it. I just wanted to tell you that.
I love your hair. What the fuck does that have to do with the Maya Angelou story? That has nothing to do with the Maya Angelou story.
We want black women, so we need to keep it going.
Felicia, keep up.
Strong black women, Felicia.
Strong black women.
Do you know anything about them?
We're on black female blessings.
Yes, yes.
Hashtag blessing.
Well, that's it, but that's just too much of a full circle. I love the story, though. But
yeah, Leah really wants it to be true online.
She's pleading for it to be true. Yeah, but it's too.
Who's gonna make up a story about Dr. Maya Angelou? Who's gonna make that up?
You had me until the Oprah thing, I think. Yeah, until the cell phone thing.
How did you get your cell phone? There was no password protection.
She was 80.
Was it a flip phone?
She didn't have anybody traveling with her.
In her purse?
I saw some reading glasses. I saw some Kleenex because you know older people keep Kleenex
and reading glasses.
I saw some cookies in her purse. Those too.
What kind of cookies do you remember?
Yeah, they were the Lorna Doone.
Nuh-uh.
Shut shut up.
Maya Angelou travels with Lorna Doone.
Who doesn't travel with Lorna Doone?
First of all, I don't even know what a Lorna Doone is.
They're like butter cookies or something.
Oh, they're top of the line cookies, man.
If you're at a gas station and you want a plain.
Dr. Angelou would care.
What are the ones that are shitty? They're the little butter biscuit ones that are just so gross.
Oh, that they give on the plane.
I want to say Werther's, but I know that's not right. No, they're Grandma Purse
cookies.
Oh, you mean like those little?
They're like little bricks of shortbread.
They're like animal crackers. That's what they.
No, she's talking about like the wafers.
The bricks.
They're wafers.
No, they're bricks of shortbread. What are they called?
They're called like Bischoff or Biscoff.
Thank you.
Those are good.
No, you're wrong.
Biscoff is good.
Yeah,
honestly, I think they're pretty good. I like them.
Really. Reigning leader of white people knowledge.
I know.
We're trying to get a Biscoff sponsor.
Wow. I would have never thought out of all of us that you would know that fucking answer, Michael Evans.
He doesn't. It's the wrong answer. Okay. I can't stress that enough.
Well, that's a good story. You guys both told really good stories, but that is so clean at the end. That's like a writing trick to clean it up like that. So I don't know.
And then for her to remember clearly what kind of cookie she had in her bag. Right. I don't know.
But I do
you
admire.
Guys are tough.
Come on now. But I do admire that if you did make that up, that's a sweet ass story to make up. But I don't think he would throw Maya Angelou under the bus.
Maybe she
like
was
that.
On a plane and she dead. Saw Maya Angelou and talked to her.
She's dead.
Not because she threw her under a bus.
I had nothing to
Jesus,
do with it.
Jessica.
Jessica's like,
anyone's
she killed her.
That's
so she can tell this joke.
What came of the meeting with,
nothing.
What was that meeting like? Tell
well,
us about
I, you know, I was pitching a reality show, you know. And they told me that the reality show was a little too edgy for the network.
What was it?
Well, it was a guy who was married to a very popular African-American lady named Terry McMillan. You guys remember her? She wrote the books Waiting to Exhale, and they turned them into movies. Stella got her group back. Well, yes. Terry had married a gentleman who came out of the closet years later. So I created a reality show where we followed this gentleman through the gay clubs and everything looking for love. And so I was told that, you know, that the audience is pro-Terry and would not want to see a show like that.
That probably hit too close to home for Oprah with her, with Stanley.
You mean Stanley?
My God!
You mean Stedman?
I mean Stedman.
Fuck, dude. I hate that you made me say his name. All right. Well, that's a great story.
Stanley.
We're gonna Stanley. She's awesome, right?
So you know, Flat Stanley.
So we're gonna move
I'm
on
crying,
now
man.
To your second story, Lara.
Man, it's not that.
That's okay. No, right. Not everyone has a Maya Angelou story.
So, I'm the only one.
My second story, I was in third grade, so I was like 8, and I ran away
Checks
from
out.
School. So far, so good. Oh, I hope. Who is the one who said I was lying right up top? I know it wasn't Leah.
That was Lindsay.
All right, Lindsay, we'll see if you think this is a lie 75 seconds in. Okay, I was in third grade. I ran away from school, and the police found me. I ran
Why
away.
Why did you
during...
run away?
Because school sucks. I hated school.
Were you being picked on?
Yes, I was being picked on at school, and
you know what they say about the Wisconsin school system. It's a rough one.
Yeah, it was awful, and I ran away during recess, and no one noticed. No one noticed. And I just like walked and I found the train tracks and I walked along the train tracks and then the police found me and I had to spend a week in a mental hospital.
Mm.
And I became friends with this little kid my age who like was a cigarette smoker, but he couldn't smoke cigarettes, obviously. So he could buy Nicorette gum from the vending machine at the hospital. And he had like electrodes on him and stuff. He was crazy. And he was like my little boyfriend. I mean, we obviously didn't like do anything, but
I'm sorry.
You know, you can't tell two lies. Right?
But how do you go from just you fucking split school and you're walking on railroad tracks to being committed for a week?
The police found me And I was a little kid. And then they like took me to a feelings doctor. And then that lady took me to, I remember going like from that shrink's office to the hospital. And it was very fast. It was like then I was in the hospital.
How did your parents or guardians feel about all this?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't ask them. I was 8.
You'd never ask them after? Like, why'd you let them throw me in
the
crazy
hospital? I know that they
were
upset about it. You know, I know they didn't love it. My mom said that if I did it again, the police were going to, like, take me away and I wasn't going to be able to live with my family anymore.
God damn you. Now I believe the souvenir factory story.
Too.
God damn it.
Me too.
Really?
I know.
I mean, but you're 8 in a mental hospital.
And electrodes and...
With another 8-year-old that smokes.
Yeah, nobody hit each other with cheese.
I mean, they couldn't, like, give him cigarettes, but he was a smoker, so he had, like, a note so he could buy the gum.
He had a note.
Oh, like the Nicorette gum? Like, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, he could buy the gum.
He had a note.
He had a note.
Like, from his mom.
How old were you?
I was, like, 8.
8.
Yeah, 8 or 9. I was in third grade.
You didn't ask no, I don't know. I have kids, and if one of them had to go away to a mental institution, they'd be like, what the fuck, bitch? What's up? Even at 8, you'd be like, what up? You didn't say to your parents, what's
up? I kind of was a little bit excited about it because I didn't have to go to school for that week. And, you know, just like had a new experience.
Now, did you know it was just going to be for a week?
No, I didn't know how long it was going to be for. And it was actually very upsetting. I remember the first night they made me sleep in like an actual padded room.
Did your classmates or anything send you balloons in the hospital?
Absolutely not. Kids were not allowed to play with me after that.
Because I remember as a kid, I do remember I was so happy that I had a kidney infection that I got to be in the hospital for. And I was happy because now finally I got the balloons from my class.
But that's physical. It's different if it's mental stuff.
I had to, I broke my leg at a school picnic I can't believe I'm telling this fucking story, in 7th grade. And I had to go to like a children's ward because they were very poor. And I was in this big open ward. I might even shed a tear. And I remember I had this big old cast up to my hips, right?
Like she's laughing at you.
No, she's laughing
at you.
And there was this little boy next to me that had cerebral palsy. And I had to go to the bathroom, like number 2, really bad, right? But I couldn't get out of the bed because I had this big old cast.
Oh, no.
And then
you pooped on the cerebral palsy kid.
She's just putting it together. Don't look at her like that. You're giving her the pieces. She's just putting them together.
I'm trying to make it make sense.
So anyway, they had, you know, the curtains go around the bed. So finally, I talked to the nurse. It was like 2 in the morning to go to the, you know, use the potty, right? Like the bedpan. And they do the curtain. And I was like, because it had been like 3 days since the accident. So I was like really going in the bedpan. And as I was really straining to go, I just happened to, you guys, this is so fucked up. I happened to look over, and through the crack of the curtain, I could see the boy was my age, had cerebral palsy, and he was looking at me hard. Oh. I was like, what the fuck?
I totally thought you were going to say he was jerking off. I was like, this is the most fucked up story.
Pretty close.
She talked over my interrupted my story for this story.
That's right.
You were the highlight of his life. You still talk about it.
I'm taking a shit. I was a highlight of someone's life. You just remember that here as a group, okay?
Still talking about it. When he saw you years later, he said, that's the good I saw pooping.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't French.
Oh.
Wow. When you're right, you're right. I love it. Okay. Wow. Okay.
I can't believe you. I might cry.
So, what do you think about her story?
I think it's funny that you almost cried remembering the time that a kid with cerebral palsy watched you poop.
Fond memories, Laura. Yeah, I mean, come on.
In a children's ward. I'm just saying, you nostalgia. Guys probably wish you had that experience.
Yeah, yeah, nostalgia.
So any questions? any questions from our audience?
They're a little confused because a lot of them think that both stories sound like a lie.
I know,
I'm kind of on the same boat. Matthew Bowen wants to know, is that protocol to take kids to a shrink when you find them out and about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Never knew that to be a punishment for truancy.
I don't know.
Yeah,
not
that's
my
what
job
I'm saying. I think I was telling that story.
Well, you said in the 20s, yes.
That's what I'm saying, that you wouldn't have more of a memory of like specifically what was going on and you wouldn't ask your parents or any of that.
I had told them that I was, that I had thoughts of hurting myself.
Oh, you were destined to be a comic.
So that's right, a missing
piece. And you lived in a small town.
You're looking for. I lived in the suburbs of Milwaukee.
So that's small, right?
Not really. I mean, compared to here, yeah.
Anywhere near Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
You really had thoughts of hurting yourself when you were eight?
Yes. I remember the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing because I didn't know. Like, I wish my parents had just told me, like, he's gay and your dad's not gay, so he's not going to kill your dad. But I remember that whole time and being, because we watched the news every night. You know, my dad would have the news on during dinner.
Probably not a good idea for a mentally ill eight-year-old.
And they should have told you. They should have told you your dad's not gay or black. He's been killing black gay guys.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I didn't know what black was either, or gay.
All you knew was cheese.
Yeah, I knew about cheese dads.
The Packers.
I wish that they had told me that stuff, because every time my dad would leave for work, I was afraid.
That's it. Dark Star wants to know, in the mental hospital, did they carve coconuts into monkey heads and sell them to tourists down by the dock? Is that part of the souvenir factory?
There's a lot in that. Okay. Okay.
All right. Anybody else saying anything online?
No, just Lindsay says, what facility takes eight-year-olds? So I'm real quickly, I'm curious, Lindsay, do you think the first one now is a lie? Are you sticking with this one's a lie?
I think all mental health facilities take eight-year-olds if the eight-year-olds are the ones
running away from school.
I just watched Law & Order where there was a 10-year-old that murdered a little boy and they didn't take the 10-year-old girl who murdered a little. Yeah, I know. So
really?
I'm very suspect of your story. All right, so let's move on to Alicia's second story.
Okay, when I was in middle school, because I have the same best friends from kindergarten, the movie Purple Rain came out, and everybody was so obsessed with Prince. Like, he took the throne from Michael Jackson. So you still have the few little girls who were like, I'm Michael Jackson, but everybody else seemed to run over to Prince around the time of Purple Rain. So
you remember the song Raspberry Beret?
Yes. But that hadn't come out yet, though.
Okay, I always thought they were talking, they said Raspberry Parade.
That sounds fun. That sounds really fun.
But no, I used to think when he was saying, are we going to let the elevator bring us down? I thought he said, are we going to let the yellow Betty bring us down? Oh, no, like a yellow Betty from. And then Prince died in an elevator. Isn't that bullshit? Mm. So we get to...
So you said what grade were you in?
I was in middle school. I was in the seventh.
Okay.
So, and everybody was wearing purple. It was just such a big deal. Purple notebooks and shit. It was just fucking
I'm great. Sorry, Alicia. How old are you? And
I'm in my 40s.
Okay. That helps me. Not a bit.
So Purple Rain comes out. And it's like a Saturday. And my two other best friends, Tyra and Quandetta. Yes, Quandetta.
We were all going to be like, Quandetta? How fucking dumb do you think we are?
I knew
we're so ignorant.
I knew
Quandetta was her name? No way.
I knew it was coming. So we get on a bus and we ride to the mall. At the time, it was called Landover Mall. And we see the first showing of Purple Rain. So we were supposed to go see Purple Rain and come home. In your kid's mind, we had such a good time that we wanted to stay for the next. It was back in a day where you could just keep staying in a theater because it wasn't assigned seats.
Yeah.
So we stay for the next one. And then we stay for the next one. And then we stay for the next one. Now, by the fourth time, we know all the words. We know all the songs. We stayed
four,
all the way to the last
eight year. Hours?
Yeah. Oh, we were obsessed. And I mean, we loved it. Waters of Lake Minnetonka. And, you know, we're singing a little song. And we're singing the songs. We stayed to the last showing. We didn't realize we got out. It's pitch black and the buses have stopped running.
So, this is before phones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is definitely before cell phones.
Cell phones. They had phones, Felicia.
Right.
But cell phones, well, you know what I was saying.
Yeah, we had cordless phones even, but we still had shit hooked to the wall. So, so now we're like, oh, fuck, how are we going to get home? We already know we're in trouble. It's like 11:30 at night. It's pitch black. And we have no way to get home. So then we're huddled up like, what are we going to do? We can't walk. We don't live. We live too far. So this man walks up and says, oh, you guys look troubled. Do you want, I can give you a ride. And we're like, we don't know this strange ass man. No. So now we're huddling again. Like, well, should we take the ride? We don't have no fucking choice to take the ride.
How many of there were you?
There was three of us total.
How far away was your home? I'm sorry if you
I would say probably was about a 5-mile ride.
Dang.
Yeah, so we couldn't walk, and it's late.
So it's a ride, so you got in.
But what we did was we huddled together, and we said, okay, everybody get a door, and you hold onto the handle of your door. And if he tries anything, open that door and roll out. So that was our plan.
Was this before child lock?
This was before child lock.
Did the man hear you all planning that in his car?
No, we were still huddled.
I feel like that would be hurtful. I'd be like, I'm
you were huddled,
you
so it could be struck you guys. Like, it could be all three together.
Right. Well, we were huddled because we were still trying to decide whether we were going to get in.
Oh, okay. You're huddled outside.
Outside. So I can't remember which one of us said, everybody hold onto a handle and stop, drop, and roll if you need to. Yeah, Quandetta probably said that.
One. Could you imagine hearing these kids in your car?
Okay, so
so we get in this man's car and I hear him laughing because he probably notices all of us like this.
Yeah,
you know, we're scared as shit, and we already know if we get killed, we're gonna get in trouble.
That's the greater fear.
So we're holding on to the handle. I was ready to go. If we needed to leave, we didn't even think about the front, one in the front's gonna get fucked up. Like the two in the back make it. But they have to live with the fact they let their friend in the front get fucked up. But we hadn't thought that far ahead. So he took us all the way home without incident. So now we're out and we're like, oh shit, now we got to knock on the door and we're going to get cursed out. We should have been in here a long time ago. So we're trying to figure out, should we all go to one person's house or should we just all split up? And so we all just split up and then we all ended up getting punished. And so we couldn't hang out for a couple of weeks after that with each other.
What did the guy look like?
You know, it was so long ago, I can't remember. He probably looked like the Atlanta child murderer, Wayne Williams. He had a little short afro, and he was short. He had on, like, slacks and a button-down shirt, you know, like he might have been in his... Back then, if you were in your 30s, you looked old.
Right,
so he probably was in his late 30s, and we thought that was 110.
Wow, I'm really admiring your Maya Angelou story now, right?
Yeah, she can't remember what this guy looks like, but she can remember the kind of cookies that
Maya Angelou.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you guys think which one's real?
Well, that's just because I love, that's cause I love cookies. And chicken strips. Wow. I never got a Popeye's chicken sandwich, by the
Neither
way.
Did I
haven't either.
Smarting about
I really
that.
Want one, but I also, I kind of want to wait until everyone else has tried it, and then I'll try it when they have enough, because my friend Jessica has waited in the line for over a half an hour twice, only to get to the front, and they're out.
Oh,
the,
no.
Like the person in front of her, at least one of the times, bought the rest of them.
See, that's the only time I agree with pulling out an AR-15.
That's wow.
You get me all the way to the front. You let me stand this line for half hour. You didn't even come back and tell me it's over.
I'm like, what's an AR-15? Is that short for a sign that they're out of sandwiches? So that people don't
all right. So, what did the people online say?
They are all saying that she is a very good storyteller and that both of these actually sound true. So it's funny that we have somebody on one side that both stories sound true and somebody on the other side both stories sound like a lie. So maybe you guys need to...
Is there a button on there where you can tell those people to go fuck themselves?
No. Listen, no. No.
Like she had thought about the button. It didn't come in time.
We need all 12 of them, please.
So, Michael Evans, what do you think?
I kind of feel the opposite. I don't feel like Lara.
I don't feel like
those stories are insane. I think both of them sounded pretty reasonable. She had a lot of detail. When it came down, even the mental hospital thing as a kid, she had some strange details that would seem right off the cuff, easy to spit
out. Yeah, but the whole factory, none of the factory that she mentioned was automated. That's what a factory is. It's automated.
that's a pretty good point.
How would you keep up with all the magnets, Laura?
That's a pretty good point.
A factory is a place where things are made, and things were made at this place.
Someone's got to make them, and that was
wow,
you.
Wow, interesting.
And
interesting.
As far as Alicia goes, I'm 100% on that the second story is true. The first one
Me
is
too.
A lie.
Sorry, not that I was asked.
All right, so what we're going to do is Austin is going to do a quick recap of the stories. We'll start with Lara's story, and we'll decide and make a vote after he does a recap.
All right, Laura's first story. She was with this souvenir factory worker for a while, and they went back.
Really
and
making it the focus of the story. The story is not I know. All right,
they went back,
and he wasn't the owner.
He was not the owner, but they did go back and
a
forth.
A souvenir factory worker and Laura. It's the first thing in. Okay,
whatever. Yeah, because it should have been a souvenir business. Not a factory.
So, we have some serious Googling of terms to do.
After the show, of course, because it's illegal during the show. But they went back and forth to Wisconsin. Then he proposed to her in their apartment like a goober. But she found out that this person was got a little too friendly with somebody that she was already friendly with. So she banished him to a life at the souvenir
he
factory forever.
He fucked some slut is how I prefer to say
but
it.
But a very nice slut.
Very nice slut. She was a good lady. Story two.
There was nothing said that she was a good lady.
She wasn't nice. She was friendly, which was inappropriate.
Right.
She was very friendly and nice to you.
She would clearly give.
But that's being phony. Yeah. That's not being nice.
She would clearly give you the shirt off her back. If it meant that she could be shirtless with your man in a different room.
Exactly.
Story two. She was 8 and in third grade and committed truancy by escaping her school and running away.
Committed truancy.
But she got arrested. Then the fuzz really threw her in a mental hospital where she befriended a cigarette-smoking kid that later grew up to manage a souvenir factory, believe it or not. Thank you, Michael. Okay.
Okay. By the way, that's how ridiculous that is that you did truancy and you ended up in a mental institution over truancy.
Talk about hitting a net with
I think it was like a $25 fine in Polk County, Florida. But.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
They didn't say that was the whatever. Okay.
I got a smoking ticket in Polk County.
Well, you better be careful because you're about to go to the mental institution.
Yeah, watch out.
All right. So let's take a vote. Fuck it. Let's take a vote. Alicia, what do you think?
Do I think which
is a lie?
Okay, I think the lie was the 8 years old in the mental institution. Did we ever find out the name of the mental institution?
Milwaukee Psychiatric Hospital.
For children.
For truant children.
For truant children.
Fuck you guys.
What did they say on Zoolander? Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jessica?
I had a question and I forgot it.
Okay, but which story do you think is a lie?
I just have a really hard time with the factory.
Oh my God, are you going to fucking say one more time?
But I agree though because some of the dates were off, the ages were off, and the dates were off on that factory story.
That's kind of true too. That's kind
of
true.
And I will tell you that Laura. it has a little bit of anxiety.
I'd have anxiety too if I was truant and then in a mental institution. The rest
getting
of my
lobotomy
would be
almost getting a lobotomy.
She gets very nervous before sets, and sometimes you have to hug her and stuff.
She was nervous before the show.
So number two might be true.
So you have to give her autism hugs.
Okay,
calm her down. And you have to give her like praise.
But you know what? Earlier today,
it's upsetting for me that you've been using it as a tool. Okay.
But remember when you first said autism hugs? I'm like, oh, I heard that, and it's because you had mentioned that about Laura earlier that you gave her an autism hug.
I really think I might be. I think I might be. I know a spectrum is everyone's on a spectrum, but I think I'm like in there. I'm
what
like
about
not
Asperger's?
On the end with that.
Could you be Asperger's?
I like have earplugs with me at all times in case I'm really audio sensitive.
That's Asperger's.
Maybe that's from working at that souvenir factory.
You should sue.
If it was a real factory, it'd be automated and she might need or require ear protection.
Okay, so which story do you think is the lie?
I think the lie is the factory.
Michael Evans, which one do you think
story
is
the story wasn't
lie?
About a factory. It was about an ingredient.
Dude, this has gotten so fucking wild. I don't know. I thought I was sure. I guess I feel most like the first story is true. How are we supposed to phrase it again? I think the second
one's
a lie.
Which one do you think is a lie?
Second story lie for me.
And you said the second story is
the first story is a lie.
Okay.
We tell the lie.
And what about you, Austin, or anyone online?
So far, everybody online, only one person thinks that her first story was a lie. That's Hostetter. Everybody else thinks the first story was true. So
me
only
and
Hostetter and Jessica at the moment. They are copacetic. And because of that, I'm going to side with them.
So say that again.
Hostetter, out of everybody, thinks is the only one that agrees with Jessica that the first story, the factory story, is a lie. And I tend to agree, but I also have a really hard time believing.
This is so
that.
Confusing. I don't even know what any
okay,
of you are saying.
You will,
did you ever
the autism
watch,
kicking
did you ever
in
watch Roseanne?
I was thinking
she
of the Fork Factory when she started telling that story.
Right!
And
that's
I was
what gonna, I was in my head.
I was like, nobody will get that obscure reference of Roseanne's job on the first two seasons of Roseanne.
I knew that's exactly where I went, and that was a factory.
That's what I was thinking. It's Midwestern. It's
that
all,
was a
also,
factory. That wasn't all
Laverne
factories.
Laverne and Shirley, they worked in a factory.
Yeah, they worked
in Milwaukee.
The
Milwaukee Brewing Company.
And
Schlemiel. Schlemazel. Hobbs & Sons Incorporated.
Really? You could get all the other fucking songs right, but you couldn't fucking throw a little effort on that one, Alicia?
We're going to do it.
I, as fucked up as that truancy then went to a mental institution, the Milwaukee Children's Mental Institution.
The Milwaukee
well, Psychiatric
Hospital.
She went to
hospital.
See the psychiatrist first.
All right. I do then think that second, how fucked up that is, I think the second story is the true story.
Which one do you think? Yeah. Do you think the first one is a lie?
But I don't know why you laugh so hard at the recap of the second story if it was true. I still think the second story is true, but I don't know.
Because they
was
said a cigarette smoking. It's just as funny the terms that you guys have put my stories into. It's not how I've ever thought about either one of them.
So you think the first story is true?
I think the
what do you think is a lie?
It's easier to write.
Okay, I think the lie is the first story because I think you're really fucked up. Probably as an 8-year-old said some fucked up shit to the psychiatrist, even though I don't really want to believe that you went through it and then you had to go to psychiatric hospital.
I think she skipped a few steps, but in a nutshell, that's what happened.
Hostetter says that. Just gonna let that simmer.
Are we doing a sound check? Yeah. What was that?
How long does voting last? We're gonna do a half hour of voting.
Hostetter. Hostetter said an ex-souvenir factory employee would have a shark tooth necklace on, so that would be indicative.
Right.
And Dark Star says second graders chewing Nicorette and listening to Darling Nikki. Sounds legit.
All right, so which story is the lie?
Oh, me.
Yes.
The first one's the lie. What was the vote, though?
I got it right.
Did you
said
say?
Two. I said two.
Mm-hmm. You said
and I said the we said we got it right.
Yeah, and Jessica too, right?
What was the vote? What was the consensus?
We
you
everybody
said the
but,
results of the vote.
Everybody but Michael thought the first story was a lie.
You didn't have to say it so clearly.
I love you.
Everyone but Michael thought
that
you went to
a
child psychiatrist.
Wow, fuck you guys.
Or I should say everybody knew the first story was a lie.
Okay.
Well, it was the souvenir factory.
Yeah,
the
souvenir factory shit was all true.
Like,
that shit was true.
I'm going to stand by the
that
Oprah thing.
That was the focus of the story. That was all true.
Hey, when it works, it works. I don't know what to tell you.
You glued magnets to the back of
glass. Yes. You call that a factory?
Yes.
What was automated?
Maybe an assembly line.
Nothing.
Yeah, an assembly line.
Right, because
okay,
I
fine.
Think
and
of
you never fucked that guy in
a
factory.
A place with an assembly line is a factory. Look up what a factory
negative
is.
Everybody online is very pissed off.
Well,
so the Comedy Store is a factory.
Wait, right,
one of the
laugh factory.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
We're a
My
store,
apologies.
Felicia. It says it in
We're
the
a
name.
Store.
My apologies. All right, let's move on to
she
Felicia.
She had to take the sandwich off her ear.
I know.
Is
she's
that what
mad
that was too
at
loud?
Us.
Loud.
She's mad at us now.
Real quick, everybody online's like, I suck. No, she got me. There's a lot missing in that hospital situation in their defense. So.
Yeah, well, you guys put together that I'm saying that I got sent to a mental institution for a week for skipping school, and that's not what
but
happened.
But that was like
that's just the sequence of events.
The vaguest part of the story was that you went to the psychiatrist, like Jessica said, or whatever. So I think that it could have, you know, been very easily to lead that it was the truancy that got you put in jail, and the cops are the ones that got you put in the thing, not the psychiatrist.
I mean, I wouldn't call it jail
or crazy jail.
Well, that you can't say that.
Again,
though.
I wouldn't call it
a psychiatric hospital.
It was a hospital.
What are they watching right now?
It was a hospital.
Okay.
I just want to say that we're really happy that you made it through the insane asylum.
And welcome back.
Jessica, it's called Crazy Jail, okay?
No, you guys, come on.
No,
now,
really.
Come on.
We're really glad that you made it through and you had a chance to work in that factory.
You know what? Here's the thing.
It was really more of an assembly situation.
All right, we're moving on. I'm pounding the table. We're moving on to Alicia's. Please tell Alicia's story.
All right. Alicia's first story. She is not a fan of flying, so she would take these early flights and deprive herself of sleep so that she could nap on the flight. I got to say, I do the same thing, too. Never works.
Me as well.
Never works for me.
It works for me.
I stay awake the whole time, and I hate myself.
Me, too. I hate it. I have to sleep before.
It's miserable. She gets a tap, tap, tap on her shoulder and looks back to see Maya Angelou, not to be confused with Maya Angelou, and Maya blesses her with a conversation. So Alicia, very bored out of her mind, informs
now,
her
one
that...
one thing, though, real quick. So sorry. You said she tapped you once. You
no, she said
at
tap, tap, tap.
She said
tap,
twice,
tap,
though.
But two tap, series tap, of tap, two, tap, tap.
Yeah, because I was knocked out the first series.
First series, you look up, and you didn't say you said anything, or you're just like, oh, it's Maya Angelou, boom, and went
she
back
said,
to sleep.
She said, have no, you I received did. Your blessing?
No, no, no. No, no. I said, oh, that's nice to meet you. I'm a big fan, and I went back to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Maya blessed her conversation. Alicia said that she too is a blessing and ends up killing Maya Angelou with boredom and turns out she died later. Story two, she was in middle school when Purple Rain came out, so everyone was obsessed with Prince. They go to see it in theaters and ended up staying for every single showing, and by the time they got out, all the buses had ran. Suddenly a creepy man shows up to save the day, and they devise a plan in case he tried to attack, but they make it home safely despite maybe some ass whoopings or getting in trouble for staying out so late.
Wow. There's so much to unpack here, and we've discussed it a lot already, but I just can't imagine that you would go into Maya Angelou's purse, and I can't imagine that you would throw Maya Angelou under the bus like that. And Maya Angelou was like, you know, she was like a dancer, like almost like a stripper, a dancer. That was how she kind of was her foray into the business. So I can't believe that she would say, you know, receive your blessing and I am the blessing. So
she didn't say I am the blessing.
Well, but Alicia did say that she took that as that she wake up, bitch, I am your blessing. Yeah.
There's been some confusion online that Alicia's second story, she did not say she was 7 years old in second grade, right? You said you were in middle school.
I was in middle school.
And I think she said she might have been in seventh grade. So I think that's where the confusion lies. Because some people are thinking of changing their answers online because of not being able to confirm the second grade thing because they don't think they're second grader.
Middle school, seventh grade.
Yeah, so it's a seventh grader, not 7 year old.
Yeah. So what is everyone voting, and what is your vote, Austin?
They're probably going to need a minute to recalibrate.
Okay. What do you think? What do you think?
I got to go with the Maya Angelou story being a lie. As much as or Angelou, as cool as that would be, I don't think that.
I still think it's Maya Angelou.
Yeah, I do too. But
I've only ever heard Maya Angelou until we were at this table.
Well, see, Lara knows
Lara.
Oh my God, Jessica's gonna stroke out.
No, how did you say you spell it?
L-A-R-A. It's like bar or car or star or car or tar.
Okay. That was just fucking perfect.
Okay, so what is your vote on Alicia's story?
I think that the second story is a lie just because it's so simple and...
So you believe she went into Maya Angelou's purse?
I think she went into Maya Angelou's purse, yes. I do.
And called up the Oprah
Network. I know that I read on her website when I was researching her for this show, that the whole show that she said she was pitching, it's true.
I believe that. I believe she might have pitched to the OWN Network. But when she said that she went into the phone and got Oprah's phone number, she said something along the lines of like, right after, and now I got a meeting with Owen or something like that. But then you said, when did she die?
8 years ago.
Yeah, 8 years ago. But right before she said so, 8 years ago, she said, now I got a meeting
with
Owen.
So they really are backed up over at Owen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it takes a while. It takes some appointments, yeah.
Huh. All right, Michael Evans, what do you think?
To me, this is a no-brainer. It seems like such a normal, regular, realistic story.
And Michael did really good on the first
story. Hey, fuck off. Yeah.
So, tell us about this no-brainer.
I just don't think that it seems so reasonable and true that some seventh graders went and watched 8 hours of their favorite movie and got a ride home. Rather than you getting in and jacking that number out of that purse, that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go first story's a lie, based on that logic.
Okay, what about you, Lara?
I think that the first story is the lie.
Why?
I think everything is true, except I think that she stole the cookies and not the phone number out of the purse. No, I'm kidding.
yeah, I mean, the story could be based in reality.
The second story, you got, I could see emotion when you were telling it. Like, I could tell that you were emotionally... It seemed like you were emotionally connected to it.
Nothing happened to him.
You mean like how you teared up when you were talking still... about the guy?
Remember how you teared up when you fucking talked about how you...
that was so fucking weird.
Ladies, let's not get catty about our experience.
Let's not get catty.
The second one just sounded... I don't know. It sounded real. And the first one sounded like it was ridiculous. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Yeah, Lindsay said the first one is a Maya Angelou, so.
Fair enough.
Who makes up a story about Maya Angelou?
You do, my friend.
I think that you were on a plane with her. I think you got bumped up to first class, and she was like right there, and you're like, yes, oh, damn, yes, that's yes.
I think part of that story, like three quarters of that story, is based in reality.
I bet you even talked to her and told her that you were a fan and stuff like that. But whoever I'm most obsessed with in the world, Robin Williams, Philip Seymour Hoffman, if I'd ever had the chance to talk with them, I don't care what they were saying. Like, I would listen to whatever they had to say if it bored me to death, to tears. So I think that, you know, that wouldn't be, you wouldn't be so offended by a long drawn out story.
She was a big fan, not her greatest fan.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, where were you flying to?
Atlanta.
It's a long flight.
Where all African Americans go.
I was going to say Tyler Perry lives there, and you know, all right,
so you're saying that the
second story's a lie.
Yeah, you believe the Maya Angelou story?
I do.
Wow.
I think Alicia's got balls.
Thank you.
And she would do that shit.
Yeah. I think she got balls, but I don't that fucking boomerang of a story. I think that first story is a lie. I think it's just not that clean. But maybe I think a lot of that's based in reality, but I think the crux of the story is a lie.
And you thought the first story was a lie too.
All right.
Fancy word. The crux.
This would be a horror movie, The Crux.
So which one is the lie?
Which one is the lie?
Oh. I wish I could go back in time and do a drum roll for mine.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Okay. The lie is story number one.
Yeah. I can't believe I had two and two. I got two.
Wow. Don't get all too happy with yourself.
Wow. Oh my God, you guys, I had so much fun. I started crying. I was laughing so hard. So
and
thank
because
you so
emotional.
Much.
Yeah,
and I was emotional about taking a shit in front of them. Yes. Which I've told no one but you guys.
You probably cured him.
I will never see you and not bring that up.
Okay, good. And I'll bring up the souvenir factory. Oh, I'll bring up the truancy, like, you know. Which might trump the shitting in front of the cerebral palsy patient. Not by much, but a little. You guys have been awesome guests. Where can people find you? What do you got coming up that people would be interested in or just that you want to throw out there?
Oh, I'm going to be on Lights Out on October 9th. I'm going to be on the panel.
Cool.
Lights Out with David Spade on Comedy Central.
Nice.
Oh, that's very awesome.
Funny. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Lara Beitz, LaraBeitz.
Did you ever do Groundlings or UCB or anything?
No.
I followed you for some reason well before I moved out here, like 3 years ago. I was telling Felicia on the way. Because when I saw your picture on our thing, I was like, oh,
it was heartwarming in the car, but now it's kind of creepy.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to take off.
Weird?
Okay.
And here we are.
Well, I hope people do follow and keep up on Lara because she's a very funny lady. And congratulations to all the wonderful things that are coming your way.
Thank you.
Well deserved. Now, what about you, Alicia?
I'm going to be taping a stand-up show in Chicago next month that I just found out about for a streaming platform.
Oh, nice.
And I just finished. I always wanted to direct a narrative. So last year, I knew no one would let me direct. So I decided I was going to have to write my own project. So I wrote and directed a psychological thriller called Trade. And we just finished it. And I just submitted it to Sundance last night. 'Cause the deadline is tonight. So, I mean, you know, that's hard, like basically impossible to get into. But I also submitted it to like 20 other festivals, like 10 in just the LA area. So my short film called Trade will be, I'm going to start doing some screenings of it, and all of you guys will be invited.
Would love
and
it.
And I just, I really, the acting performances, the actors gave me so much. And you realize just how much, you can take a horrible script with great actors and make it great, but you can take a great script with shitty actors and it's all over with. These actors did their thing. So, I mean, I'm just so excited that my movie's done.
Well, congratulations. Thank and by you. The way, you never know about Sundance. I was an assistant director on Mitch Hedberg's feature film, and he cold submitted that and that got selected.
Wow.
Which was a great learning lesson.
Was he already
lesson.
A celebrity at the
no,
time?
No, no, okay. no, no. He was like just a feature act at that time. Yeah.
And it got
so
selected.
And it got selected. So you never okay. know. Anything is possible. And congratulations
wow,
for
well,
that.
Thank
You're
you.
Very,
thank
very
hashtag
lucky.
Blessings.
Yes.
Oh my God, I've missed you, Jessica. All right, and how about you, Michael Evans? What do you got shaking?
I'm just going to tell you to follow my Instagram at High Five Michael and watch for our live dates for Liars Club at the Ice House at the Comedy Store. If you're
September
in LA,
September 25th is the next one.
September 25th, baby.
Wait, there's going to be weed giveaways.
And Tim Dillon's going to
wow.
be there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be a fun, fun show. Please, if you're in Los Angeles, give us a check out. What about you, Austin? What do you got shaking?
Oh, 1 second. I'm just unfollowing Laura and following Alicia.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell people to follow me on Instagram at Alicia Cooper 2, A-L-Y-C-I-A Cooper 2. Thank you. And unfollow Laura.
Laura.
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. Follow us, IG, The Liars Club 1, Twitter, Liars_Club. And like Michael said, September 25th, be here at the Belly Room. And it's the later show, right? 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
Not 8 p.m. like last
right,
time, 10
right,
p.m. this
right,
time.
Right, right,
And then again, October 29th. So.
And do us a big favor. Go to our YouTube page. We are separate from the Comedy Store. Even though we stream live on the Comedy Store's YouTube, we do like to clean up the episodes and put them on our own YouTube. Please follow us there. If you are in the mood to, we just made a new animation with Bert Kreischer. We're very happy and proud about that. And you can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board. Do me a favor. If you're a member of Amazon Prime, please go on Amazon Prime and go look up my documentary Pervs. It has Felipe Esparza in it, Joey Diaz, Lori Kilmartin, all that kind of jazz. Did well in the film festival circuit, so that's why I'm happy
wow.
for you. You're going to get into some stuff, I bet, and congratulations on that.
Thank
and
you.
And then follow me, Felicia Michaels, all across the board.
Please just like me. And I'm at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. And you?
Who's Jess Wellington 1?
Some mommy and me bitch that no. like makes cookies. And
she's hanging with Alicia Cooper
whole,
on.
Yeah.
All right.
She's got a whole cookie factory or something.
Send death threats to Jessica Wellington.
And you have been mugged.
Sorry.
That's my thing! That was...